Would you rise?
All right, it's 5:30. We'll call the work session to order. Chief McIntyre, you're up first.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Good evening, everyone. Is that on?
No, you don't need it.
We can hear you.
Yeah, because it picks it up on the other side.
All right, fantastic.
You don't have to stand if you don't want to.
It's up to you. Appreciate that. No, I'd rather stand so I can see facial expression. That says a lot without saying a lot.
No, that one's off.
That's off?
Yeah.
You good? Okay, my name is Tony McIntyre. I'm Chief of the Northwest Fire District. I appreciate the opportunity to stand before you once again. I have an idea and a project I wanted to approach the board on. I talked to Mr. Wicks and Mr. Rode through the last few months. And the Northwest Fire District is a bit challenged with some of the big projects we got going on. As you know or may not know, we cover about 9 miles of river that run from both lakes to lakes, from Onondaga Lake to Cross Lake, okay? Our specific district, per se, is right around the back of Sirocco, give or take somewhere in there, and it goes all the way to basically Cooper's Marina. That is the Northwest, basically owns that. The other side, it goes from Plainville to the lake is Jordan, and from the Trestle Bridge is Seneca River to the lake, and that's Liverpool. Long story short, we're behind on some water equipment, water rescue specifically. If you do look through the history and look up water emergencies and waterway emergencies, unfortunately that area has been plagued through the years from drownings to fatal boat accidents, etc., etc. Well,
when you say you're behind, what do you mean by that?
Meaning our equipment, our boats, let me stop there. Currently in service, I have a boat that we purchased, meaning the fire company and the village did, back in the early 90s. It was what they call a Zumro boat. It's an inflatable boat, three-tier with an open front. It was designed to go up to the falls, the water would come through, and then unfortunately when we go to rescue and recovery, it would come through. That's currently in service from early 90s, okay? We did do some upgrades on that boat about 6 years ago, so it's currently in service. And then we have currently an aluminum boat, about a 17-foot aluminum boat that was in service pre-1983 because it was there when I joined. During that period, we had purchased a larger 30-foot Boston-type whaler boat from the Brewerton Fire District about 15 to 18 years ago. At that point, it was about 20 years old. Long story short, COVID hit, and we sent the boat in to be basically refurbed, got numbers from Cooper's, it was roughly 10 to 15 grand. It made sense to park it. How much time do I have? Because I don't want to shortchange, I was told 5 minutes. I can't.
You got 10.
Thank you. Okay, so that makes a difference. So with that being said, we parked it. In the interim, when we parked it, we had a partnership with Sea-Doo, actually Ingalls. We would, every year we would go borrow, or it was a grant program, they give you a jet ski and said, here, turn this in at the end of the year. It was free to us. Well, when we turned that in pre-COVID, parked our boat because we knew come the springtime we're gonna get a new jet ski that'll hold us over till we can make out a big plan. Long story short, Ski-Doo and Ingalls scrapped that program. So now we're down a boat. So put our heads together, trying to weed through wants and needs. About 2 years ago, we started working with Magnarelli's office. And he finally awarded us, we haven't seen the money yet, but he awarded us about $80,000 towards the boat project. We had in the middle, and we figure our budget that we are going to spend to replace the boat, some upgraded electronic equipment, and all of that stuff is about $130,000. Fast forward today, the district a year and a half ago ordered two jet skis out of the budget. We budgeted for them. they're due in any day now. That is budgeted. So that was our fix for quick response, get there, person in the water, but it doesn't take care of the big picture. But we're investing there, and they've done that. Fast forward and why I'm here today. We have a $130,000 budget. I was approached by a couple board members that, listen, you know, we were able to help GVAC. I was wondering if you guys would consider assisting us with some financial means. I'm looking for roughly $50,000. That goes towards the $80,000 that we've got with Magnarelli's. What we're doing with that money is it buys the boat, it buys the updated equipment, replaces all the safety equipment. And what's interesting with our fire district and the problems that we have is if we park one unit, we used to park it at Cooper's Marina, or when Chief Rutherford lived in town, it was across the street. We parked that there, we had a place in water, and then when we went on the other side, that was where our quick response is. So here we are today. COVID has been a bear for the whole project. Cost went up 40%. We had to weigh out where do we don't want to raise taxes yet. When this all started, I was a fire commissioner. So I knew and sitting in the seats about wants and needs. The fire engine we bought 2 years ago was $600,000. The same fire engine today is 45% more. So there's only so many places we can go. Reached out to the grant. Magnarelli hooked us up. I was wondering if there's anything, and I don't know the term that you guys used at one point. I can't remember the term, but I want to call it COVA money. I don't know if that's the right way to say that.
It's ARPA money.
Say that again?
ARPA, American Rescue Plan Act.
Thank you. I was wondering if you guys would consider contributing, if it's possible, if it's legal. I don't know all of those answers, but without asking, I don't know.
Have you asked Van Buren?
Not yet. And the reason why I came to you first, and I'm honest, is I heard you have money and you guys were the catalyst of the tax break for the firefighters. You guys were the catalyst of a lot of things. I'm coming to you first. I don't know what the village would do. I think I know what the village will do, but they borrow our boat. I don't know. I come to you first.
Where does the sheriff's department, because the sheriff's department has a fleet of boats. So
absolutely, but when we get activated, as you know, for a boat issue, the sheriff department will be there after the fact. They're going to be there after the fact. Quick response, that's the difference. I'll be transparent, we're not scuba divers anymore. We are initial response, quick rescue. Back with our program goes back, well, since the early 80s, but as recently as 2015, we have a full response plan with pictures, and exactly, we take this very seriously. It's not something I just came to on the down low here.
How many calls have you had, say, within the last
water five? Calls?
Yeah, the last
well,
5 years.
I did, last year, we were out there at least five times. And it's interesting, I'm expecting a question that I haven't received yet is, what about the neighbor on the left, or what about the neighbor on the right? I expect some of that stuff. The neighbor, you know, Blainville doesn't have water equipment.
Seneca does.
What are we lacking on every department when you did your taxes and stuff that you helped us, are short people?
Well, yeah, I'm looking at your budget right here of $2.1 million.
Correct.
With a tax rate of 1.92. For at least Lysander, I didn't do Van Buren yet, but you also got almost $500,000 in just other funds.
Correct.
What's that money for?
We have right now, and don't quote me black and white, but I'll do the best I can. We have a fund set up for apparatus replacement. We're trying not to raise taxes. We have money we deposit in that every year. It goes to, again, equate when we $200,000 additional dollars for the same piece that we bought 2 years ago. We're looking, we have a truck right now in service that is about 12 years, no I lied, about 15 years old, that if we were to replace that, it's over $2 million in 3 years out. So what we've tried to do, and if you mentioned taxes, we were 3 cents less this year than we were last year, trying to do the right thing. We don't want to raise taxes. Right now, the fire company is going to contribute with their with the money that they fundraise with chicken barbecues. They're contributing. That we had to, and again, sitting in the board, we had to weigh it out. Fire trucks, firehouses, sleeping quarters, or boats. Right now, our 30-year-old boat is working. It deflates once in a while. We fill it back up.
So will this one, so you said Plainville doesn't have them, but Seneca River does.
They do, yes,
so,
sir.
So the boat that you're going to get, is that going to be a boat that could be like something that would be not exactly like what Seneca River has, but it would enhance what they have so that you could do more things?
Without question. Okay. Our dynamic is significantly different than most. We've got to approach the falls from both sides.
Yeah.
If you were to look on Facebook a look at like Cod Noise Boat, some of those, we're looking at a center console, more rugged boat.
What kind of boat are you going to get?
I don't know the name, but we stuck with the 130 budget, quite frankly, because you could spend $250,000 in a blink of an eye, but that's not our business. Our business is fast-moving water rescue, so it's more of a flat-bottom boat. I don't know the name brand. I honestly don't, but I do know it was about 30-plus feet, but not too big. It doesn't make sense.
Have you tried any of the manufacturers to see if they would give you a break on the boat?
Absolutely. They're working with a couple. We're right in the middle of getting finalized quotes. That was actually a bigger part of the process, was getting final quotes on this. That Magnarelli, once we have the official quotes, because we went in there with a budget, now they want to see the final quote. So we're getting this close to getting the money, however that happens.
Have you approached the county? Because the county has money, too.
I came to you guys first, because some of your members came to me first.
I think it's important. I really do. And I could support funding some of it. But yep. I don't think that Lysander alone should fund the whole thing. I mean, if you need it, and I want to make sure that, you know, if you're asking for 130, that's what you need. You know, don't, you know, I'm hoping that you're getting something that's going to really fit your needs, and you're not just trying to fit it into a, you know, a
slot. Very interesting. Very interesting. I believe with this and where we're at, it gets us 20 years. It's going to get us 20 years. What the problem is with the fire service and what we've all done is we held on to things too long as society changes. It is. Without question, I have a committee of five people that have researched. They've been to Cod Noise, they've been to Phoenix, they've been out to Union Springs. We went to Union Springs recently. That's way more than we need. But we're looking at their technology.
Okay. That's all I was wanting.
Fair enough.
You know, I mean, just to make sure that, you know, you need 150, but you're going to settle for 130. I mean, you know, ask for what you can get.
Totally now, appreciate
what,
that.
So you haven't approached anybody because
you're the first people.
Yeah, Brian May and, you know, with the county.
Yep.
And you got Ken Bush on that side of the river. So, like I said, speaking for myself, I think it's important. I mean, I did that for years, and
yep.
You know, I was in charge of the Sheriff's Department boat unit, so I understand,
sure.
You know, what they do and how important they are. So, you know, I think that, you know, personally, I would be in favor of that. I don't think that we should fit the full bill.
Yep.
You know, I think that we should, or you should, you know, look to the other places as
absolutely.
Well to see if you can get a commitment, and then together, you know, we come up with 150, or the 50.
Yeah.
And then...
All in. By all means, I'll approach anybody and everybody. I can't say it enough. I approached you guys. Somebody had to be first.
Yeah.
Would this be trailerable?
Yes.
To get to either side of the...
Well, yes, the answer is no, but we have to work out a program that where it's going to make sense. Because, again, it worked a lot when we had it parked at Cooper's. But I don't know if that's the right thing to do anymore. The waterways are way busier. Cross Lake is nuts, as we all know.
Yeah. We're in a unique situation with the lock.
Correct.
You're stuck. You either got to go to, I guess, community park.
That's where we launch it.
Right.
And we've been many calls there due to being launched, and it's going right in the drink, but also right up there's an alcove. We've had many groundings right up in that alcove where the people fish right up there.
Yeah.
So, by all means, I'm going to approach all the politicians and municipalities and see what we can do. But this works for both towns, all your town fire departments, all the fire districts in the town. It's not
We're only going to get busier too. I mean, we have a grant, $160,000 grant for waterfront development.
Yep.
So, and what we're going to do with that. And so, you know, I think if we do the right type of planning, it's only going to be busier. But, you know, it's certainly important.
I appreciate your time. And I approach you because you're approachable. That's why I'm here.
And just so I know, like if Seneca River, they can't get the boat in water, Northwest would come. Yeah, mutual aid still works.
Listen, if the neighbors call because the cat's in the tree, I don't want to say we're going to be there to do it.
Yeah, you're going to take that boat wherever you need to take it.
I just wanted for the public to understand.
Of course.
This boat could end up at Cross Lake, even though it's in Plainville. It could be
without question.
Could be over in Phoenix if something
is. Cross Lake is in the town of Lysander too.
Right.
Sure.
So, you know, and
but just so people understand, the fire district lines don't.
Yeah. That's just the line stop where the money comes from. Right. Hi, sir.
Hi. So I would say it's not an unreasonable ask. The piece of equipment's important. You did your homework. That's great. Between Van Buren, Lysander, the village, the county, both, and like Mr. Wick said, both Brian May and Ken Bush, and then your own budget, 50. It shouldn't be too difficult to do, but just a little more. More work.
What
more presentations.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut
you. No, that's all right. So. Thank you for coming, and thank you for presenting this need to us.
What type of time frame are you looking at?
Well, to be frank with you, if I said yesterday, I would be lying to you. We want to get it.
So you don't have it ordered yet, or anything?
No, we don't have it ordered yet.
And you want to order it.
I got you. But the build time on these things is crazy as fire trucks. So I don't anticipate even being able to order it. I'm hoping by mid to late summer, but I don't know. We're going to have to figure it out. You know, we're going to have to do that. The district's committed on making this work. I'm just trying to get a little help.
Good.
Okay.
Now, have you looked at, like Supervisor Wick said, you know, if you find something that, you know, 130 gets us this, but 150 would, you know, I think you should look at where your budget is, because it seems to me we should be able to piece this together.
I totally agree with that, and we have another committee meeting coming up very, very soon, because I'm asking those questions as well. Are we sure we're being fiscally responsible, but does it make sense? You know, with the sonar and availability of locating things and whatnot in the water, the game has all changed. So I am asking that question, to be honest with you.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your time, everybody. Any questions, please call.
Okay.
Or stop by.
Yeah.
I'll be calling you because, you know, we'll get together and I'll call Brian May, our legislator, and talk to him about it as well.
Okay. Parks.
Yes.
Mr. Merrill.
So, as we've all discussed before, you know, the grass didn't come up very well on the new athletic field last summer and fall. We bought some equipment, had a plan to basically scratch up the surface, loosen up the soil so that we could fertilize it, plant some grass. Jim has busted his butt and done a fantastic job on the equipment, but he's discovered that in scratching that surface, there's a lot of rock and tree debris in that dirt that was brought up. he really can't do much more at this point with the equipment that we have. And we've got to get the dirt cleaned up. We have to get the rock and that tree debris out of that soil that was brought in order to make it a safe playing surface and get the grass planted. I've talked with a couple of different excavators, one of them being the one that did the work on the field last summer, and his suggestion is a couple of skid steers, one with a what they call a Harley rake and one with what they call a rock hound. And they're designed, those implements are designed to sift out debris that's in your dirt or your soil. This should make it back to, you know, a surface that is safe to play on and we can plant grass on. But the problem over there is we had material that was full of rock and tree debris. And it looked okay last summer, but once Jim started scratching it up, it unearthed a lot of stuff that was buried beneath the surface.
Weren't we supposed to get good topsoil?
That was the plan.
Where did this come from?
I'm sorry?
Where did this dirt topsoil come from?
Yeah.
Topsoil? Where did
everything was ordered from Syracuse Sand and Gravel, which is owned by Roselli.
But if they delivered us crap, why don't we talk to them about it?
We got what was ordered from them.
So who ordered crap?
Project manager. And it was the folks from Roselli told me that they had tried to, they suggested not doing that, but they were said, well, you know, we're gonna York rake it out and clean it out.
And they never did?
I think there was an attempt made, but for as much stuff that was in it.
To me, it sounds like we need to go back and talk to, right, Tony?
Who's the project manager?
Yeah, who's the project manager? I would get all them involved. Talk to Roselli.
Put them all in a room.
Yeah. Talk to them before we spend any more money, right?
Yeah.
That'd be the goal.
We can get what we ordered.
Yeah, get what we ordered. And have them do what they said they were going to do.
And talking to Roselli, they delivered what was ordered.
But you said they were going to scrape too, though.
Right.
And they never...
That wouldn't have been Roselli. That would have been Tirolli.
Yeah,
and,
Tirolli.
They said they did. They did the best they could.
Oh,
who's the project manager?
Our engineer at the time.
Al, was that dirt crap that was delivered at time?
It's good organic soil. It just was not screened. We Harley raked it and rock hounded it last year, and there was a few stones that came up, but I don't know if we needed to turn the whole thing over. I think we could have scraped it with a York rake and put seed on it and probably would have avoided this, but ultimately it probably needs to be rock hounded and Harley raked again. I mean, it's good organic topsoil. It just was not screened. And they put lawns in all day long with unscreened topsoil. You just gotta rock on them and Harley rake them.
And the soil itself, there's no question about the soil. It's the fact that it wasn't unscreened. It wasn't screened.
Yeah.
And it's full of...
So we need to rock hound it again?
Rock and debris. And Jim can testify to how much stuff is in it. He's taken out a mountain of rock and tree debris.
No, I know. I've seen big rocks in there.
So
when they started to dump that stuff in there, we could see the stuff falling out of the truck, and we said, that ain't going to work. And nobody stopped them from doing it, so they just kept on bringing that stuff in. And no matter what you do, you can't get the stuff out of there unless you sift the darn stuff to get it out of there. Because I've hooked it twice, And I looked at it last week again, and I already took three buckets full of trash out of there, and it's loaded with stuff yet, but we can't even get in there and get it.
Can you disc it?
None of that is.
Can bring it to the top anyhow.
It's still, disking it isn't going to remove the tree debris and the rocks that are in it.
So what's the cost? So, I mean, that you're looking for?
Full of rock and tree debris. Yeah. So, you know, in talking with Derek Tiroli, he said probably the best way to clean it, at least get it better, and at least get the surface safe to play on, and I mean, you could plant it right now as it is, but it would still be full of rock and tree debris. Yeah. Anyway, back to what Tiroli was saying, is the best option to clean it up better than what it is and make it safe, and that's the biggest concern, is making it so that's safe, because it's an athletic field and it should have a safe surface. Is the combination of Harley rake and rock hound and sift through the surface again.
But at what cost did you get it?
Well, I mean, his county price one day cost is $6,300. He thinks he can do it in a day. I've got a couple other vendors that I can still speak with as well, that work for themselves. There's a possibility they, you know, it could go less than that, but I think we look at least Tiroli's one day price as the likelihood.
Kevin, who was supposed to clean it the first time?
Well, Tiroli did what they could to.
I mean, it was always going to be an athletic field.
Right.
So it should have been made an athletic field the first time through.
Right.
And if Tiroli was supposed to get it, make it an athletic field the first time, I don't know why I would pay them more money to do the job a second time.
Well, they did the best with what they could do. They did the best they could do on the material that was brought in.
But it's the same material that's there now.
Yeah, so how are they going to do any better now than they did before? It doesn't make sense.
So I guess my question is, we tried to seed this field. So if we knew it wasn't any good, why did we try to go through seeding it last year? Well, I mean, we have the town engineer and the park director here.
When that field was seeded last year, there were not rocks at the surface.
The Harley rake and the rock hound took the rocks that were off the surface. When you turn it over again, the rocks that were underneath the surface are back on top now. You have to rock hound and Harley rake again to get a surface that's suitable to be seeded again.
Right. So if you didn't feel, I mean, there's a relationship here. Al's overseeing the project, you're the park director. At what point last year did you have concerns with the field?
Supervisor and Wicks and I were over there and we asked. We asked him about the rock and tree debris that were visible on the surface. And we were told Tiroli was going to rock hound it and Harley rake it, and all that stuff was going to be out.
Okay.
But as it turns out, that wasn't possible. There was too much stuff in there to completely remove it.
So I'm gonna.
It should have been screened topsoil that was brought in to begin with.
But that's not. You knew the project wasn't calling for screen topsoil.
I mean, the bottom line is, you can put screen topsoil.
Screen topsoil would cost a lot of money.
For screen topsoil.
That was what was in the budget that was presented.
It was presented as topsoil. It was not presented as screen topsoil. If you want screen topsoil, it's about $15 to $17 you have more a yard than what we paid last year. So you would have added a good 100 grand to the cost of the project. I think you rock hound it and Harley rake it again.
I mean, but do we need good dirt?
No, there's plenty of organics to grow grass. Plenty of organics to grow grass. It needs to be Harley.
Well, like Kevin's saying, you got to get the stuff out of there. I mean, you can't have that stuff there.
Harley rake it again now, and walk it. And there may be some manual labor after they're done to walk it. And if you see anything on the surface, pick it up. Maybe where you're at. But 95% of it will all be gone if you rock on it and hard it.
What do you need, Fred?
You drive out by where I live or anywhere in Lysander where there's farms, you see the big articulating tractors, you see them pulling the plows behind them, they're turning over the soil. And in that process, rocks get exposed anywhere from softball to basketball size.
Yeah.
They have another piece of equipment. Some of the farmers, like the Reeves, and will come along every once in a while and it'll pick up those rocks and you'll see them in piles on their property somewhere. But here's the deal. If they didn't turn over that soil, those rocks wouldn't be exposed.
No, we know that. That's not what we have. They're exposed now. So the weather
right. So the rocks are them. Rocks will always be there. And say they clean up all those rocks. And they come and plow that field again next year. Guess what?
Well, they're not going to plow the field again next year. The idea is to get grass in.
No. I'm trying to make an analogy with the
farmers. No, we understand.
So when the farmers come back, say they use that picker to pick up all the rocks, clean. They come back next year and plow again, guess what? There's going to be a lot of in the fields.
Yeah, we got it.
Because it's going to pull it up if you do that. Yeah. Right? So if you clean it good once, which you shouldn't do now because it's a mud pit, wait till that stuff dries if you want to do it right. And do it once. And like Dale said, as long as you don't turn it over or anything like that, you should have a playable field, no problem.
So, Kevin, is your recommendation the same as Dale's, where we got to screen it again? And
well, that's pretty much the best option.
Sure.
And the most reasonable option.
Do we got to make a motion?
Because bringing motion. In...
Yeah, we'd have to.
Yeah.
Sure
we got to get it done, yeah.
Well, I guess my question is, you know, last fall, we sat here, we ended up voting on fences for another $48,000 that I wasn't a fan of. And here we are, that we spent $48,000 on fences, and now we've got to put another $6,000 to maybe $10,000 into a field that I thought was finished. And I understand the engineer's project manager, but you're also the park director. And if you felt that field wasn't good, we should have stopped what we were doing and tried to assess the situation then, rather than trying to seed it and grass it, and then this year dig it back up. I mean, I don't know if digging it back up was the right thing to do this year, at this point, for what we have. I mean, I don't go looking for more rocks if I already have rocks.
Without loosening that surface, and replanting grass, it wasn't growing.
Right, but grass. Who decided to water the field?
Well, we'd have to say where it's coming from, too.
Both Al and I.
It was dry when we were putting seed down. It was dry.
Right,
but we didn't have any rain.
Yeah, but I mean, I just
we didn't have what?
A lot of water.
No, you didn't. No,
but a lot of water went on that field. What? A lot of irrigation went on that field. And with anything like that, you're going to get it to settle, and you're going to get, you know, when there's nothing happening, and then you go dig it back up, you've ruined everything that we tried to do. So
well,
I'm just
there was
lost.
No, did you go over and take a look at it? There was no
No usable
grass there.
But a lot of other people grew grass last year. So I think there was an issue with the way we did it. But that's, I guess, it doesn't matter now because this is where we're at. We've got a plowed up field. And Jim spent countless hours. He could spend the rest of the summer pulling rocks out of it. That's why I was asking, do we need more dirt? Or are we going to sit here in 3 weeks and go, oh, we rock on it, Harley raked it, and we need some dirt? I don't know.
But because
there's money that went to fences that could have went to this.
Another thing you can do is use your payloader to lift up the dirt, put it in a shaker, and clean it. Only one in, I know, Allen's own a shaker that'll do that.
I don't think there's much to shake there.
How deep do you think your topsoil layer or your soil layer is that you had delivered?
We got 8 inches everywhere.
8 inches? From what I hear, we got a new Bobcat coming in. Use that, put it in the shaker, clean up what you got. If you want to do a perfect job, if you want to do a job that's acceptable, what else? York rate it and Harley rate. For those people, or Harlem Ridge and Rock County, for those people who don't know, it's pretty much the same machine.
We got to do
one's on the front
problem.
Machine, one's on the back machine.
Okay.
I'm good with it.
Thank you for our motion.
You got anything, Pete?
No, I mean, I want the fields
usable.
Right. I'm just not happy that the person or people in charge didn't do it right the first time. And I'm a little off about paying the people again for doing the job that they should have done right the first time. That bugs me. But if they're lowest bid and we have to do this, well, then we have to do
well,
it.
Well, he's got a couple more anyway, so.
But that's, no, I know we have to do it. We got to get the job done.
So how much do you think it'll take to clear this up?
Well,
that worst case scenario, not?
Worst case scenario would be Tiroli on 1 day, 6,300, 2 days, 2,600. But he's confident it can be done in 1 day.
For 12,006.
Yeah, I'm sorry, 12,006, yes. He's confident it can be done in 1 day.
Now,
so I would, you know,
are we confident
speaking with
that
him, worst case scenario would be his 6,300 for the day. But you know, I think with at least the information out there, if this is what we go ahead and do, then I can talk to a couple other vendors and see if we can do it for less.
Are you pretty confident that that'll take care of that that'll do what we need to do to get the...
In talking with Tiroli and with City View Construction, they're confident. Both, you know, I mean, they know one another, but talking to them separately, they're both confident that that's the best option. Because bringing in screen topsoil at this point is not an option.
Okay. Thoughts?
I've given you my thoughts.
I don't have any more in.
No, you got to make it usable. I agree with Pete, though. I don't want to use the same people that kind of didn't complete the job right the first time, right?
I mean, if we have to, we have to. I just want the job done right. But if, you know, if there's another vendor comes in at a better price or a close price, we should do that.
Is there a reason why we can't do this in-house?
Yes. We don't have the personnel or the equipment to do it. All right. So if we were going to do this, we're looking at 12,006. Where would we got to figure out where the money's coming from? Now, we took the ARPA money before to use it. I mean, you have that, or I don't know off the top of my head where we would take it from.
I don't know what kind of reserve fund we have.
I don't know.
But I mean, that's my suggestion is take it out of ARPA.
Cedric.
You guys understand when farmers put seed in the ground, it's spring and fall, so you got a window, and the seed won't germinate unless you water it. You know, so you're gonna have a small window here to get it done, to get seed to grow.
Yeah, we're still in planting season, though. You can still plant grass in
I understand.
In May.
Farmers finish up about the end of June planting.
Well, we're talking about doing it now.
hit it. I'm just saying.
We're aware there's a window.
If you tried to go out there and rock down and hardly rake that soil down, you'd find out you'd have a bigger mess than what you have right now. I promise you that.
We're well aware of that. It has to be dry. There's nothing to be done until it's dried out.
So what do we want to do? I say we got to have it done. Take it out of ARPA money. I mean, we got that field there. We already put a lot of money into it. I know, you know, nobody wants to put more money into it, but what other choice do we have? That's my thoughts.
I agree.
Yeah, got to be fixed.
I'd rather use ARPA money than taxpayer money.
All right. Well, I know it's done right.
All right, I'll write something up. Move on to highway department responsibilities. As I'm driving around the town, I notice a lot of trash, on our roads. I mean, I'll see, you know, you go down Loop Road, there's stuff, you know, big stuff. You know, there's crates, there's tires, there's all kinds of stuff that, you know, we could be picking up. You go down 31, 370 out of the village, there's stuff on the roads. There's boxes alongside the road. There's an old footstool alongside the road. I think these are things that the highway could be picking up. We should be taking care of the town roads. We had I had a citizen call and somebody dumped some stuff on Emmerich Road, and there's no mechanism to pick them up. So I think that, you know, looking at the town law, the town board can obviously, you know, what your responsibilities are with the highway, but also the town board may confer or impose upon him by law and such other duties as the town board may determine not inconsistent with the law. So these are things that I think we should ask the highway superintendent to do. I think that it's important to keep our community looking as good as we can, and I don't think that's an unreasonable request that as when the highway personnel are driving around, if they see something, they got to load it up in a truck and bring it back and dump it out. And when there's downtime, you know, send some people out, you know, check the roads to see if there's anything out there and pick them up.
Is it anywhere in there that says I'll be provided equipment, personnel to have do that part of the job that we're not doing now?
So what you're saying is, so actually, what are you saying? I don't want to speak for you.
I'm not sure that it's going to get done as quick as you're thinking, and that there's going to be guys just hanging out. I mean, we're about ready to go full bore right now.
No, I understand that. But I don't think that this isn't going to take 20 days to do it. And what I'm saying is when there is some downtime, which there is at times some downtime, that people could go out and, you know, with a couple of guys in a truck. You don't necessarily need a dump truck. You can do it with pickup trucks or whatever and just drive down some of the roads and then chip away at them when you have some downtime, and then pick those areas up. Now Loop Road, people drive down that every day. I mean, how hard would it be when you got an empty truck to stop and throw in a couple of tires in the back of a truck and dump them off at the office? I don't think that's taking time away from anybody.
Well, I'll need a dumpster roll off or something that's going to have to be at the shop.
There's no dumpsters over there now?
We have two 8-yard dumpsters, one for cardboard and plastic and the other for trash, but you'll need a there's a roll-off right there now because of the Earth Day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's still there? I knew you guys were putting one out there.
That's the board. If that's the board's decision, I mean, I don't like the idea of becoming trash collectors, but.
Well, who would do it though? Who would do it in the town? We got our town, and there's stuff alongside the road. There's a dead deer along the road. There's
Think about that.
There's tires.
Not even the same thing.
There's tires along the road. Who would do it?
Hopefully, somebody who drives by it enough and thinks to themselves, you know what? That's been there a long time. I live in this town. Why don't I just take care of it?
And where would they put it? Where would I put that? I don't have access to a dumpster. I would have if I had access to a dumpster, but most people don't have access to a dumpster, and they're driving down the road. Where are they going to put it? Are they going to put it in their Subaru?
They know about
a couple
Lake
of
Creek.
Tires.
I'm sure they know about Lake Creek. They know about Camillus.
Why should they pay? Why should they have to pay when it's our responsibility?
Wait.
We pick it up.
So. Why should the taxpayers pay to have us pick that up off the road?
Because they're already paying you. That's
paying
why. They're answer. Already paying you.
But what?
I'm not picking up piss bombs.
We're talking about trash.
That's trash.
That's all it is, trash.
What's on Grundage for the last three years?
Well,
that's
biohazard.
That's different.
What's that?
Grundage for the last 3 years.
I would classify that as biohazard. So, anything that has feces in it is biohazard.
Right, there's cost to this.
What's that?
There's cost to this if we do it. Now, what roads are you talking about? Because
all the roads in the town.
So the state and county roads?
I mean, 31 and 370.
Any town road. Any road in the town.
That's not a town road.
State and county roads.
That's in the town, isn't it?
What about village, too?
Okay.
Not in the village.
So the board knows that somebody in this... The highway department gets hit working on a town or a highway.
Okay, okay.
Road.
If you, we're not going to talk about, listen, we're not going to talk about work related issues now. If you want to talk about work related issues, I'll bring you all in and we'll have that discussion.
You're talking about picking up trash.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? If the town board decides that personnel are going to, that's part of their job responsibilities, that's going to be part of your responsibilities. Because the law says that we have the ability to do that. Simple as that.
But, I mean, I understand on town roads, partially. There's a lot to talk about. But Loop Road, who picks up Willett Parkway and Drake's Landing?
Radisson
has,
like
we pay
for, them roads too.
For people to mow the common areas, and the town of Lysander pays for that because we're in the Radisson business park.
Oh, no,
how come Radisson decides to not clean up Brundage Road?
Because there's piss and shit on the road, that's why.
I mean...
All right, look it. You're not going to yell out if you got to maintain order here. You're not going to swear. You're not going to yell stuff out. If you are, you're going to be asked to leave. Understand?
Yeah.
Okay.
So part of your fees in Radisson pay for the upkeep of the common areas. And they mow the medians and the sides of Willett Parkway. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe they take care of all that. They mow the side of Drake's. But Brundage and even Loop somewhat just gets left to the wind. I don't know why, because the corporate parks where a lot of money comes from for Radisson. So I don't understand why the town constantly has to deal with the Loop Road, Brundage Road truck issues that Radisson, for some reason, either can't deal with, which I don't know why, because InBev's a corporate person in the business park, and we all know that's where 90% of those issues come from. We don't want to put cameras up, so we can't say it's every truck there, but when pallets magically appear outside of the brewery and the brewery tells people they have to have a clean truck to walk in, it doesn't take a genius to put those two parts together of where those pallets came from. So I think we need to talk to Radisson about what happens in Radisson, because everybody in Radisson already pays for that. Town roads, if we want to try to pick up litter, okay. But county roads, state roads, 31 and 370, the state has a DOT, the county has a DOT. We should be talking to them about cleaning up those roads. But if you're talking about tires and things like that, great. Then the second thing we got to do, does everybody have what they need to do that job? I mean, there's going to be a cost to this if this is the road we go down. It's not just, oh, just go out and pick it up. I mean, we've all seen it. We all know what's on Brundage Road. We don't have to go and look at it.
I'm not even talking about Brundage Road. I'm talking about any road. There's stuff on 60 Road. There's stuff on 370. There's stuff on Emmerich Road. If you go around the town, and it's not just our town. You go into Van Buren, same thing. There's a bunch of slobs. Sure. That just decide to drive down the road, and they're going to throw trash out their
dump
window.
Dump a grill out on the side of the road.
So why, if we have the availability to take care of that, why wouldn't we try to address it if other people are not addressing it? We can't make Radisson do things. We can't make state DOT fix it. But it's our town. And all I'm saying is if our highway personnel are out there and they see something along the side of the road and they're driving down the road and they can throw it in a truck and bring it back. I don't think that's that big of a deal.
You're not saying send a detail out. Today we're going to do such and such road. Today we're doing Emmerich Road. You're not saying that. You're saying you're out there driving around going in a normal course of business. Some jack wagon threw a couch on the side of the road. Pick it up and put it in the back of the truck.
Well, if we get complaints too. I mean, I get complaints about stuff on Emmerich Road. So if I get a complaint or I see it, I think we should take care of it. That's what I am saying, yeah.
Well, why don't we actually talk to the county and talk about getting people from community service and have them go around and pick up stuff.
Instead of using
full-time MEOs, right? Or things of that nature where they're picking up on you get county people to do community service to do that. Why can't we do that?
Because they're not making them they're not putting them in jail or making them do anything anymore. Ask the judge.
It's not a bad conversation.
That is a good idea, but they don't do it anymore.
What if it's something that we shouldn't or can't pick up? Say it's just for example, it's a refrigerator and it still has all the Freon connected. Do I call someone and say, hey, look, I can't pick this trash up because it has to be depleted of the gas first? And then it sits there.
But if it's something you can't pick up, Ken, then don't pick it up.
If it's
a biohazard, don't pick it up.
Right.
And if there's a refrigerator out there with Freon in it, and you do pick it up, or you don't. If you don't pick it up because it's got Freon in it, it's still going to be there a year from now, or whatever. I mean, I don't know what the difference is.
There's a refrigerator there.
It isn't going away.
Right. What I'm getting at is I'm foreseeing a situation where there's something that is on the side of the road that we were unable to pick up. The guys were going, they're running for a park. They gotta be down in the city. They gotta go to the next neighborhood to flag.
Nobody said that. Well, we're talking. So you're telling me, 8 hours a day, 365 days a year, there's no downtime at the highway. That's what you're telling me.
What I'm saying, Bob, is they're not garbage pickers. They're MEOs.
What does MEO say they do?
It's a job description in civil service.
Yeah, and any other duties that are assigned.
Right, I understand.
Okay, so any other duties that are assigned. What does that mean? Any other duties that are assigned. That's what it means.
It wouldn't be picking up garbage.
Why not?
We're not garbage pickers. We don't collect garbage. And downtime is, we do what we can with the rain days. There's things to fix. My point being is, look, this could have been done not in a work session. It probably went over a little bit better. Well,
it would be good if you came over and we had meetings once a week or once a month.
My phone doesn't ring either, Bob, and I send a lot of emails that never get returned.
And when you do get calls, it's me calling over there. And it's done through emails. Everything can't be done through an email, Ken. Some things have to be done face to face.
Right, like this should have been. This was
okay.
Yeah, this wasn't cool, man.
All right. Oh, okay. You don't like it? Well, I don't like the fact that there's trash all over the road either.
So I don't know if we're talking about this one extreme versus the other. I think my interpretation of this is, if you're driving down the street and you see a tire, pick it up. Don't go out of your way looking for stuff. If you're just happen to look for, if you're driving back from the home base and you drive by a tire, you
but
pick it up.
That's not what Mr. Wicks is talking about. He's talking.
Is that what how I'm interpreting?
That's the way I interpret.
I don't.
Or I use the couch as an example.
Yeah. Or if we get a complaint.
There's a couch on the side of the road.
We do that now. We do complaints for large mattresses and stuff like that.
I don't think it's Tuesday is trash day by 12 to 4 we go look out. I think it's just courtesy, you know.
That I understand.
Just to pick up something.
I'm not talking that, and that is something that we already do.
Yeah, then it should be no issue. That's how I'm interpreting it.
I would assume before you mow the side of the road, they look for tires and other items.
Right.
So you don't destroy it. So I don't think, I think this is something we can discuss at committee and come up with, you know, a plan of, you know, what you're looking for. If someone calls in, you know, send it over to Alicia so a list can be made. So on a rain day, we can, you know, pick these couple of things up that people have noticed.
Yeah, and if you're doing it now, that's great, you know.
Right. But,
I mean, I also think that we could reach out to Radisson because they're picking up other parts of Radisson.
I agree.
I mean, there's, you drive down Willett and Drake's and you don't see much there. I'm just not understanding why, you know, obviously it goes to the places where there's not a lot of people watching. But why don't we get that service on the other part of Radisson? We're talking like two roads.
Well, let us know when you call me what you find out.
Oh, I will.
Yeah.
I have a great relationship with Lynn.
Yeah.
Look forward to making that.
All right. Chase Cemetery.
Okay. So I put out a few RFPs for the Chase mowing, as I do every year, and we have one quote for $900 per mow. It's high. We mow anywhere from, we pay for anywhere from 18 to 20 mows. And I looked at the past 8 years. The highest we've ever paid is in 2018, $10,241.40. My budget for mowing is $9,500 for that cemetery. I think we should write a resolution or a motion tonight to accept that one and only offer we have, only because the last, I guess, what Al told me, the people we had last year, they lost money on it because they had to pay four people prevailing wage, and it's a six-hour job with four guys.
Three guys.
Yeah. And the highway can't do it because it's not in the union contract for them to do.
Do we mow any other cemeteries?
Yeah, I believe Chase is actually spelled out. It's included in the...
Yeah.
Chase is the one over off 370, right?
48.
What about the one off 370 over?
We mow a bunch of
Hillside.
Cemeteries.
Yeah, Hillside.
They mow. By the contract, Chase is excluded as well. Yeah.
Do we know why it's excluded?
What?
It's mostly got to be done by
hand. It's mostly done by hand.
It's mostly trimming around
the get a big weed whacker.
Two close together.
And then there's a few buildings and things there too that you have to trim around. So,
yeah.
Well, so that's 10 mowings.
We got to go in one executive session today.
Could be 18 to 20 mowings. I mean, in October,
that's 20
it
grand.
Still get beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful weather. So,
but I mean, yeah, mowing my lawn right now.
We're going to have to do a budget transfer though. Because,
right.
I mean, we go over
$9,800
or
What's the state requirement once a month?
Yeah, but you got to have people kind of digging it.
I understand.
It's three times a year, Kevin.
I only have a minute.
Okay.
Quickly.
We used to mow that property, Chase, and
yep.
Ronnie used to do it and then it got to the point where the board members, it's costing us too much, let's just hire it out. And it's been that way, I don't know, roughly 15, 20 years since then, but we used to do that internal with our equipment, our mowers, our trailer, our truck. Mm-hmm. Chase is closed, you can't get buried there anymore. It used to be open to the public, but it's filled to capacity. Some of the other cemeteries that the town takes care of were open to the public, but abandoned. And so after 17 years of property abandoned, the town has the right to come over and take it over as long as it isn't religious or private.
All right.
So now we just added a whole bunch of park aid laborers. Can they mow? They're weed eating at the park, right?
I think those park aid laborers are at night, though, right? They're park attendants, too?
Number one, they're not laborers.
Right.
They're park aides. They're not park aides. They're summer aides. That's their title.
But you put aides. Some items of work that would be considered laborer work.
Stranger.
Okay.
That would violate the contract.
They don't operate.
You can't have them do labor work.
They don't operate mowers.
Right.
Okay.
The union agreed to string trimming, some general maintenance, not operating mower or tractor.
Enhancing what the current park laborers don't want to do. That's basically the bottom line.
But if that was a 6-hour job for four people,
three.
Still, if it's a 6-hour job,
18 hours,
three people, you know, we have
$45 an hour, technically.
Yeah. Or one person does it for 18 hours.
Today, because the grass is getting long, so we really need to decide today.
Well, who trims around here?
Park staff does.
Park staff. So the park staff does leave the park to mow. Okay, I just wanted to make that clear, that they do actually leave the park to mow. Okay.
What's your point?
Well, we're saying they can't mow Chase Cemetery, but they can mow Town Hall.
I didn't say they couldn't mow Chase Cemetery. I never said that.
And I guess also my...
I said the park aides couldn't.
The laborers come over and mow here?
Those are the employees that by union can operate the mowers and trucks.
But if they left the union left out that cemetery, couldn't we have aides go over there?
No, because it's town work. It's town work.
No, I thought the caveat was that if you were taking work away, then you couldn't do that. But if
that's
you're
right.
Not, taking work away.
But we're not
you
taking
would
a
be
word
taking work away if you had other town employees doing work that's assigned to laborers. Mowing and that type of work is laborers' work. So what they would say is you're taking away overtime from them or you're taking away their work.
Even if
that
they
would
excluded
be,
it
but
from
they
the contract.
Excluded
it
from
okay, so here's something that we just talked about. So how about if we change the contract to say bi-weekly mowers?
Yeah, just tell Libby that, hey, we're gonna reduce this to bi-weekly. So then it would only be 12 mows. So we wouldn't be killing, it wouldn't be
that's
that far
on the budget. Off the budget.
Your May, June, July, August, September, maybe some of October, at least one mow in October probably.
You had a mowing weekly?
Twice a month.
Twice a month or as needed. So
if it's dry,
you can get away with bi-weekly, no problem. In May, depends on how much more rain we get, but
sure.
If it's raining and
I mean, obviously the holidays.
You want to make sure Mother's Day, Father's Day, 4th of July, Labor Day, Memorial Day. You got to get it done before the holidays.
And that's in the contract too.
So, but theoretically, if you say, "Hey, listen, no more than twice a month," you got to hit the holidays, and then the is what it is. I mean, you're at least closer to your $9,500 budget. You're not doing too much of a budget transfer.
And then we'll see how that goes for this year. And if people call and say, oh, it looked this way or that way, then we'll have to revisit that next year.
But if you were 12 mows at 900, you're not too far over budget.
Nope. Does make it more palatable.
Can I write up a motion?
Yes, write up a motion. Okay.
Yep.
Call the work session and then we'll start the...
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So, if everyone's had an opportunity to review the minutes, may have a motion to accept the minutes as adopted.
I'll move it.
Or as distributed. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. So we're going to have a continuation of public hearing on Mills Road. May I have a motion to open up the public hearing?
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Is there anyone wishing to speak to make a comment regarding the proposed district formation?
Is the microphone working this week?
No, we're having some issues.
Okay.
Yeah. But the mic's here is catching you.
Fred Birch, Plainville Road. I'll try to make this brief. So tonight there will be a vote on that to send it to the public vote where the residents of that district will be able to come.
We're going to table that motion.
Okay, you're going to table that motion. Yeah. But eventually we're seeking that out later in the year. So that's okay. Oh, well, maybe I'm a little bit earlier, but that's what I thought I read. But I'm glad to see we're moving in that direction. And I know to a lot of people in the room, probably my opinion doesn't matter, but when we have something that involves a finite group in our community, a small district, I think this is the model that we should use. In other words, I don't know what the threshold would be, you know, a small neighborhood, 100 or maybe go by households, but I think this is the model to allow democracy to go forward and allow the people from those small districts to help determine their fate versus, for the most, and I'm not blaming you guys, but for the most part, probably people that they've never met. And I know you're all busy and y'all got families and you'll go down and you'll look at a place and you'll ask for people's opinions and stuff and that's, you know, the proper procedure, but it's a lot different than when you live there and you're spending a lot of time there. I just think that this is a model that we could use for something. I don't know how often something like that would come up. But anyways, and then also, and this is not criticism, this is just observation. An analogy, earlier tonight when we were talking about the field and getting it done right the first time, and I looked over at Mr. Moore, and I saw the grief on his face that this could have been done right the first time.
Okay, this is a public hearing on the water district,
right.
Though. So,
so
stick to the water district.
Okay, and so I just wanted to, you know, not speak individually, but for Mr. Miller, I saw that, I liked that, I felt that. That's kind of how I feel about these small projects, even though I don't live there. I don't know anybody that lives on that road, really. I know where it is. I've been on it enough to know it's small. But thank you for deciding to go with public vote and also maybe consider town law with where it's going to cost people out of their pockets. I'm not talking about putting a stop sign in a neighborhood like they did at Timberbanks or whatever. I'm talking about a substantial amount of money out of your pocket. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else? No? Okay. May I have a motion to close the public hearing?
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Public hearing is now closed. Citizens' comments. Any citizens wanting to speak regarding agenda items tonight?
I noticed we didn't have the time to get to the club during the work session, and we extended over. So are you guys, is your intention to go forward with that vote for B?
For B?
It's a public hearing.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So can I just ask, I think, and I don't know for sure, but I think is most of this about what you guys had talked about, the moratorium for the solar, does that have anything to do with it?
No.
It doesn't?
No.
It doesn't?
This is just to consider the adoption of the revised comprehensive land use plan and set the public hearing, that's all. And then we'll have discussions about that.
Right, so the public will be able to come over and see what maybe like the difference could compare before, and then speak to it? Okay, thanks.
Anyone else? Okay. Town board comments. Start with you tonight, Mr. Moore.
All right. Just a couple of things. One, I think I don't believe my facial expression had anything to do with grief. Disappointment, perhaps. Grief. There are real situations in life where grief is, you know, a ball field isn't one of them, but that's okay. It's all right. Other thing I would say is you don't want to do a disservice to yourself or the people in this room by presuming to know what we're all thinking. And in this case, whether or not your opinion is respected or not respected, I wouldn't presume to know what's going on in everybody's heads at any given time. So I would be cautious about that as well. Just be cautious about you know, your omniscience. Lastly, we won't have another meeting before Mother's Day. So anyone out there, or any mothers, grandmothers, I wish you a happy Mother's Day. Everyone else, thanks for coming. And I'll move on.
Thank you for everyone coming out. Just want to remind everyone, tomorrow and Saturday, we have a neighborhood garage sale at Holly Hill, Abbott's Landing, and Clint Heights. Like to see you guys all there. Since we plugged the Radisson garage sale, might as well plug my own, right? So,
what are you selling?
Nothing. I'm not participating. But other than that, you know, just thank everyone for coming out. It's going to be a nice weekend. Enjoy Mother's Day, as Pete said, for all the mothers out there. Happy Mother's Day. Thank you for coming.
Okay. Thanks everybody for attending. I'm gonna ask the highway superintendent and his department head reports to probably fill us in on the Hayes Road project, seeing there's a couple of residents out here, the no parking signs. And you know, the next meeting we have the public hearing on the start the public hearing on the Melvin Farm project. So make sure you look at the website. We've got a lot of information up there. We've heard from county planning, and there'll be a lot to discuss. And then with the club program, with the comprehensive land use plan modifications or adjustments in June. So be prepared for a lot of meetings. Thank you.
Okay. I don't have any comments tonight. Department head reports, Mr. Rosignol.
Nothing.
We have introduction to pickleball, primarily for adults. Kids are welcome as well, though. That's the first one is this Sunday, May 7th at 1 p.m. at Lysander Park.
For kids too? 1 p.m.?
Yeah. Yeah. It's primarily adults, but.
Provide the rackets and everything?
We're not going to turn the kids away. Paddles are, there's no registration. It's a free program.
and for those who need them, paddles are provided. There'll be, there's experienced pickleball players that provide the introduction and some basic instruction, and then let everybody play, and then those players kind of mix themselves in or walk around from game to game and help people with rules and what have you as the beginners play. So that's introduction to pickleball, Sunday, May 7th. We have registration is open for GEMS Plus. And GEMS Plus this year is July 10th to the 14th. It's for girls grades 4 through 8. There's informational flyer, registration form on the town website, our Facebook page, and for the Beeville School District, it went out through Peach Jar. So anybody in the school district would have received that.
How many people can
get it? I believe we're at 44 is what we cut it off at. Between 40 and 44.
So they want to get in as soon as possible.
This is a popular program, and it fills up fast, so any families with a young lady between the grades of 4 and 8 shouldn't wait. We have some summer camps coming up for the summer. Registration is open for those. They're presented by a local company, if you will, that puts together these STEAM-based camps. They're called Challenge Island. So it's information is out on our website, Facebook, and that went out through Peach Jar as well. They're a half-day camp. They're STEAM-based. The first one is July 10th through the 14th. That's boys only, so that it doesn't. We didn't want to compete with GEMS Plus, which is girls only. After that, July 17th to 21st, July 24th to 28th, July 31st to August 4th, August 7th through the 11th, and then August 14th to the 18th. Those are all STEAM-based half-day camps for kids. There's more information, like I said, on the website. I didn't write down here as far as what the age or grade range was. It's primarily elementary through, I believe, sixth grade. So we have Lysander Spring Pickle, which is the Spring Pickleball Tournament. That's Sunday, May 21st. There's two divisions, advanced and recreational. The full day is 9 a.m. to 4. The tournament itself for participants is sold out, but I wanted to mention it tonight because every year the pickleball players, they hold a raffle to raise money for a local benefit. And this year's benefit is for the Ava Wood Memorial Scholarship. And the pickleball players have put together some baskets that'll get raffled off. I know one of them is a lottery ticket basket. So we're just trying to, the pickleball players themselves, they put a lot of money into the raffle, but we're hoping we can encourage the rest of the community to come out, participate in that, and raise money for the scholarship. That's all I got.
What about the other?
I guess put notice out there too. Supervisor Wicks and I had talked about when the field is ready to open. We want to, and we've talked to Ava's mother about this, we want to dedicate the field in her honor. She was a frequenter of Lysander Park in soccer. Her mom said she had her first birthday out there, and it was just something that Supervisor Wicks and I wanted to do. We thought it was a great opportunity when the time comes to dedicate and open that field to do it in her honor.
But Kevin's also working with Ava's mother and some of the other committees that he has to come up with a proposal for us. to vote on. So it's, you know, it was an idea. Certainly we're looking, but he's working on some designs for a monument and working out where the funding would come from as well. So once he has that, he'll put it in a an actual proposal, and I'll put it in a resolution. We can take a vote on it.
Okay. Thank you.
I would just like to ask that the public be patient with the guys that are on the road. Please pay attention to the instructions, whether it's a flag or a paddle. Our pavement management plan for the town will be posted soon on the website, and then we'll have, so take a look, see if there's streets on there. We'll be handing out notices before the job is started. That way we don't run into any issues. Update on the signs. The signs are all made. The dig safes are all, well, half of those are called in. So I call dig safe. It takes, they have 3 days to check everything out. But all the things are marked, the signs are made. All I'm waiting for is them to say it's cleared, and then we put them down on the marks that we must be set up.
So the bar opens next week. Would it be done
in time? We might have that section done. That's the first section I turned in. So that will be the first to pass. So hopefully, yes.
Just the MS4 annual report will be posted on the town website by the end of the day Monday. We'll do our annual presentation at our next meeting.
Okay.
So the volunteer firefighter recruitment day went wonderfully. A lot of the fire departments did receive applications, and we are already starting to plan for the one next year. So it was a great event, and we thanked the families and everybody who came. It was, it really came together very nicely. And then the next day, I hosted the prom dress event, and that was amazing. We had about 40 students come in, some with their parents, some with their friends. We probably gave away maybe 30, 35 dresses. Handbags, shoes, makeup, and it was a great event, and I plan on doing that again next year as well.
Okay, thank you.
Great job, Dina.
Yeah, good job with that, Dina. Thank you.
Both of them. That's great. Thanks. All right, we'll move on to the regular agenda items. Motion A is going to be tabled tonight because we're still waiting for an answer back from the Village of Baldwinsville as far as the letter we sent them requesting us hooking up to that their water to provide water to Mills Road. So they haven't, they were supposed to be talking about it tonight at their meeting. They hadn't been able to get to it before now, so we're going to have to table that until the next meeting. Motion B. May have a motion to hold a public hearing to consider the adoption of the revised Town of Lysander Comprehensive Land Use Plan on Thursday, June 1st, 2023 at 6:30 p.m. at the Town of Lysander. This motion shall authorize the town clerk to advertise the same.
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carried.
Mr. Supervisor, I just want to mention that we did put it on for June 1st because Mr. Corey couldn't do the meeting before, so that's
okay.
Why we chose that.
Okay, that's right. So we're going to add a motion. Now, I need to know what that motion to repair the field, what should that read? So the motion, I believe, is to allocate 12,006 a maximum
You can probably just say that a motion to authorize the Parks Commissioner to hire a contractor to remove trees and stones from the park field at a cost not to exceed $12,000, funds to come out of the ARPA money.
Okay. Do you have that written down, or I couldn't write it down that fast?
I'll give it to you. I've got it.
Okay.
Do you want me to write it down, quick?
Sure.
Do you want to do the Chase Cemetery one first, and then do the other ones?
Yes. Okay. And then motion D. Motion to accept the bid from Mosier's Landscapes for mowing and trimming of Chase Cemetery on a biweekly basis at $900 per mow trim.
I move it.
I'll second it.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carried.
What's that field called? What field is that?
Athletic field
expansion.
I'll let you read it when you're done.
Motion to authorize the Parks and Recreation Director to hire a contractor to remove the debris from the athletic field expansion with a cost not to exceed $12,000.
$12,600.
Using ARPA funds.
So may I have a motion?
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Opposed.
Any abstentions? Motion carried. Okay, so we're going to have to go into executive session tonight to talk about some pending litigation and some employee personnel, specific personnel matters. I have a motion to go into executive session at 6:57.
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Okay. We're in executive session.
Are we going to be making any motions after? Do you think?
Are we?
Mike?
Okay. I got that from
Steve. Yes or no?
You think so? Tony?
You think we'll be taking action?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So we may make we may come out of executive session and make another motion depending on the discussion about litigation.
All right, thank you.
Yep.
Do you want me to go in there then, since you're making a decision or not? It's totally up to you.
Yeah, we'll take.
You sure?
We'll take notes.
All right, take good notes.
Yeah.
You want this, Dina?